Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
This week is Thanksgiving. And, you know, normally I'll preach on Thanksgiving the Sunday before Thanksgiving. But I'm not going to do that today. We have been moving through the book of Ephesians verse by verse, and I just can't get away from Ephesians chapter 6. We've been looking at family matters the last several weeks, and last week we looked at job matters, and the practicality and the biblical admonitions that have been given to us for our homes and for the workplace have been amazing. But today we're in a totally different atmosphere in the Scriptures. We find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 this morning. And you know, when God saved you, He put you on a battlefield. I hope you understand that. This is not some playground we're on. We are in a battle. And there is a spiritual war, a battle between good and evil in the unseen world. We can't really see it, but we're a part of it. And I took something from Dr. Jerry Vines years ago and called the next four Sundays, Defeating the Dark Side. And this morning we're going to look at the dark side has a dark ruler. And you all know who his name is, right? Now some of y'all are looking all spiritual, and I know you know who we're talking about here this morning. So we're going to take a good look at the dark ruler and learn how to defeat him over the next few Sundays. And hopefully we'll finish up before Christmas, and then I can preach on Christmas at that Sunday morning. The Bible teaches us that we're engaged with three enemies. Y'all know who they are? The world, the flesh, and it's that last one we're looking at this morning. So if you have a copy of God's Word, would you stand as we honor God's Word, reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 6, just two verses this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. If you've got a smartphone, check it out. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today, so y'all going to have to listen up fast, all right? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Say that with me. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Say that, and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Doesn't say anything about us whipping the devil. All we're supposed to do is what? Stand, okay? Against the wiles of the devil. David Fry. I don't know why I always call on you, but you're the first one I see over here, I guess. Would you ask God to bless the Word this morning?
Yes, Father.
Yes. Right. Yes, Lord.
Mm.
Amen. Please be seated.
If you're taking notes this morning, we want to talk first of all about who is this dark ruler. We're going to talk about his identity. His identity. Now the Bible here in verse 11 simply calls him the devil. Now the word devil means accuser. You do know that the devil is an accuser of the brethren, right? And of the sistren. I don't even know if that's a word, but the devil loves to accuse God's people. That's what his name means, the accuser. But there's a lot of other names that are used for the dark ruler. Satan, which means adversary. He is our enemy. He is our adversary. He's called the prince of the power of this air, of the air. Revelation calls him Apollyon, the great destroyer. He's also called Lucifer, which means son of the morning. But our passage today simply calls him the devil. And that is who we're looking at this morning, the dark ruler. Now, I want us to run over quickly to some Old Testament passages because these two passages, in one in Ezekiel and the other in Isaiah, kind of reveal who his identity is. And so let's look at the dark ruler, first of all, over in Ezekiel chapter 28. Now, I'll give you a moment to get there. Y'all know where Ezekiel is? It's way over there in the Old Testament. Go to the book of Psalms and turn right several books. But Ezekiel chapter 28 reveals quite a bit of information about the devil. The first two verses there in Ezekiel 28, you're talking about a man, a personality, specifically the prince of Tyre. But it becomes very plain as you begin to move down through these verses. By the time you get to verses 12 through 15, you're talking about a far more sinister personality. We've moved from the prince of Tyre to the king of Tyre. And so let's look at those verses real quickly, shall we? Son of man, verse 12 in Ezekiel 28, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes, those are musical instruments, was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. And it goes on and on and on there about the identity of the dark ruler, the devil. Now, there's some tremendous truths. First of all, the devil is a created being. He is a created being. Verse 15 reveals that the devil, did you hear it, was created from the day you were created. Verse 14 reveals that he was of the highest order of the angels. He was the cream of the crop. I mean, the devil was beautiful. He was gorgeous. He was filled with charisma and personality. He led the angelic hosts of heaven in worship. I believe he was the worship leader of heaven. Some would call him the minister of music. He was a created being. But secondly, the Bible says that he was a corrupted being. Down there in verse 17 says, You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Not only is he a created being, he's a corrupt being. Turn now with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 14 and 12 through 15. Let me read those for you. Isaiah 14, starting at verse 12. I'll give you a second since y'all are trying to get there. That's good. Now, five times in this passage, in Isaiah chapter 14, the devil says, I will, I will, I will, I will. Listen to this. How you are fallen from heaven, verse 12 of Isaiah 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Now listen to this. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Now, five times the devil says, I will, I will, I will, I will. How many of you know pride comes before a fall? The scripture says that pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. And so at some point in time, this tremendous angelic created being became a corrupt being. He not only led in worship in heaven, he wanted to be worshiped. He wanted to be like God. And so he says, I will, I will, I will. I want to tell you what, when an angel or when a human being gets to the point where he wants to be God and he wants to be worshiped, the way up is down. It is an amazing thing. Lucifer had a great fall. Pride always brings a great fall. He was cast out of heaven. Lucifer was saying, I'm on the way up. And God said, big boy, you're on the way down, and he was cast out of heaven. But third, the devil is a condemned being. How many of you know the devil will not win? We're fighting with a defeated foe. He will not win. Let me just read you a couple of verses. Way back over there in Genesis 3:15, you don't have to go there, but there's a prophecy there that says the devil will have his head crushed by the seed of the woman. The devil knows his days are numbered. Look at Matthew 25:14. This is an amazing, amazing prophecy. Matthew 25:41 says, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. That's Gehenna. That's hell. Permanent hell. He says, prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil is under the judgment of God. He's defeated. His goose is cooked, so to speak. And guess what? He knows it. Now, God has a special place reserved in the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. The devil does have some authority, right? He has a kingdom. He's got some demonic angels. He's also got some children. We have identified the devil now. He's a created being. He's a corrupt being. But bless God, he's a condemned being. Aren't you thankful that Jesus has whipped him? Hallelujah. And so that's his identity. That's who he is. But what does the dark ruler do? And this is what we really need to get to. Look again at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. In David's prayer, that's what he was talking about. He says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see that word wiles? That word means scheming. Scheming. Our English word means methods. Y'all do know that the devil has a method to his madness. The devil has some plans. I like what 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11 says. The devil has devices that he uses against us. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 7 speaks about his snares. The devil loves to set traps for God's people. Did you know that? Basically, what I'm saying is the devil has a strategy and he's been using it for thousands of years. So you know what the next question is? On the agenda this morning? What is his strategy? What are his strategies? Well, he's got several, but I want to just mention a few. Now, you know, do we have anybody in the military here today? Anybody in military life right now? Any of you ever been in military life? One, okay. Well, when an army is fixing to go to battle, go to war, what they do is they study the enemy. Why? So that they can defeat them. I guarantee you, before Sam goes into a basketball game, he has studied their opponent. And he's looked at their plays and the way that they do basketball and that kind of thing. Why? So that they can defeat them. I mean, y'all don't play to get whipped every game, do you? Did yesterday. And so, you know, we've got a strategy whenever we're up against someone or something. Well, the devil has a threefold strategy that he's using to defeat you. You do know he wants to whip you, don't you? He's out to get you. The Bible says he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal your joy, kill your spirit, and destroy your life. And he's got a threefold strategy that he's using to do it. Amen. What is it? I'm glad you asked. The devil, first of all, is going to attack us mentally. He's going to attack us mentally. What do you mean by that? He's after your mind. He's after your mind, brothers and sisters. Satan wants you to think like he thinks. He wants you to think like he thinks. He wants to put lies into your mind. While God wants to fill your mind with truth, Satan wants to fill your mind with lies. If the devil's speaking to you, you know what he's doing? He's lying to you. Every time he's got his mouth open, he's a liar. He's been a liar. He's the father of all lies ever since the beginning. And so let me just kind of pull out this. In Genesis 3 and verse 1, that old sinister minister of fear and doubt slinks in like a serpent into the Garden of Eden, and he begins to deceive Eve. And you remember that first question that he asked Eve? He said, "Has God really said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" You understand what he's doing there with her mind? He's attacking her mentally. He sowed error into Eve's mind. And I want to tell you, our culture is bombarded by the devil's lies today. You do know he writes books. He produces movies and television shows. He even preaches sermons. Have mercy. The devil wants to sow seeds of error in our mind. He teaches classes at universities. Now our battle, Ephesians, we're going to learn this next week. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. Our battle's against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So you need to recognize our battle's not against one another. It's not against human beings. It's against the evil one, the dark ruler, because he will attack your mind. He's coming after you mentally. And then secondly, here's the second thing he wants to do. He wants to attack you morally. He wants to attack you morally. After he's got your mind, he's going to come after your heart. Hello? He's going to come after your heart, and he wants you to slip and go downhill morally. You know, the human heart was made to love God. Did y'all know that? The human heart. You can go. I double dog dare you. Sarah, let them all come back here this morning and ask all of our kids, do you love Jesus? And you know what all of our children will say? Oh, yes, we love Jesus. You see, that's because God has placed his love in our hearts. And Satan wants to rob and steal your heart. And so he's going to come after you morally. Now, I understand what everybody says when, you know, we've got an addiction to something or to something. I get that. But you know who's behind the addiction? Satan. And by the way, sin is addictive. Sin is an addiction. And so we need to call things what it is and what they are. But 2 Corinthians, throw that one up. 2 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Who is the master deceiver? Satan. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And jump to verse 11, Ellen, would you? Well, and that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. No matter what you once were, the Lord Jesus can take you and make you into a brand spanking new creation. He can clean you up morally. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to take you downhill morally. He doesn't want you to live for God. He doesn't want you to live a righteous, clean, holy life. And so he's coming after your heart. And then here's the third thing. The devil will attack you motivationally. He attacks us mentally. He's after your mind. He attacks your heart. He attacks you morally. And then thirdly, he's after you motivationally. In other words, he wants your will. He wants your will. Now, in this world, I believe there's three wills. There's my will, there's God's will, and there's Satan's will. And so whose will you surrender to? I think that is the question. The devil wants to capture your will so that his will might be done in your life. I want you to see this, how Satan's strategy works. Turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, real quick. We've got just a couple more minutes here together. Mark, John chapter 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Because you see this, you see how this strategy unfolds in the life of Judas. And in John chapter 12 in verse 5, this woman before the Lord's death and burial had anointed him. She broke open an alabaster box and poured a very expensive perfume on the Lord Jesus. And here's what Judas said. Look at this. Why was this fragrant, John 12 and verse 5, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Where did that thought come from? The devil. He sowed that seed of error into his mind. And so he's attacking Judas mentally. And then jump down to chapter 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the, what's the next word there? Heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And so the devil has attacked him mentally. Now he's attacked him morally. He's after his heart. And then jump down to chapter 13, verse 27. Here's his will. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. The devil took over the will of Judas, and he went out and sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. There's another story over in Mark chapter 13, chapter 5 and verse 13 that kind of flow. You see this strategy of the devil. How many of you remember the demoniac, the demon-possessed man over there in the Gadarenes? And Jesus had come through a storm with the disciples and they land on the seashore. Billy and I have seen that place over there in Israel. And this demoniac comes running out to meet Jesus there in the boat, and he's crazy. I mean, he's cutting himself. He's bounding. They tried to keep him bound up in chains and bondage, and he's wild. He's crazy. And the Bible says he was demon possessed. He had 5,000 or 6,000. His name was Legion, so that tells you he had 6,000 demons. And then the demons spoke to Jesus there through this man who was oppressed and possessed. And Jesus said, I tell you what, I'm going to send you into this herd of pigs. And so they left the man and possessed the pigs, and Satan drowned those pigs in the sea. You see, the devil's second choice is a hog, but his first choice is you and me. He attacks mentally, he attacks morally, and he attacks motivationally. That is his strategy. I wish I had more time to unpack this today. There's so much here. But here's where we needed to wind up this morning. How will I defeat the dark ruler? Well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The first thing you need to realize this morning, church, is that the devil is a defeated foe. But you can overcome him, but not in your power, in God's power. That's how he is defeated. So the first key to victory is claiming God's power. Just simply claiming the power of God over the dark ruler. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ took on, once and for all, Satan and his kingdom and defeated this sinister minister of fear and doubt on the cross. And he whipped him in the empty tomb as well. And so this morning, Jesus Christ has won the victory. And you are fighting not for victory, from victory. Victory was won. That's why we celebrate Easter together. He defeated Satan on the cross and in the tomb, and because of that, it's a done deal. And so I'm thankful. I like what Colossians 2 and verse 15 says, that Jesus spoiled powers and principalities, triumphing over them in it. He made a show of them openly. There it is. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Revelation 12 says this, powerful verse of Scripture. Throw that one up. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the seal, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. He knows he's whipped. He knows he's defeated. And Revelation 20 and verse 10 talks about he's going to wind up in the lake. There it is. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night. How long? Forever and ever. He's defeated. And all we need to do is stand in victory by claiming God's power. Father, your word says that I need to be strong in the Lord. And I claim your power at Calvary's cross and the empty tomb. Claim God's power this morning over the evil one. And then secondly, just claim God's provision. Did you catch what verse 11 said? Put on the whole armor of God. We're going to talk about that. We're going to learn how to put on that armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the strategies, the wiles of the devil. We're going to get y'all combat ready here. in the next few weeks. Y'all are in a fight. Y'all are not on some playground. I want to tell you, little Ryan over here, Friday night, God got a hold of his heart. And he and two other kids that were here Friday night, man, just said, "Lord, I'm yours and you're mine." You see, that's where the victory is claiming God's power and allegiance to him. I was so proud of you, young man. And by the way, I'm still proud of you this morning. All right? Aren't y'all? I know you two are. Hallelujah. Give God glory. And so claim God's power, claim God's provision. And I want to close with this. It's in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think." Now watch this. "According to the power that works in us." Is the light bulb coming on for anybody in here this morning? You've got the power in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave. You've got that power. And if you'll claim that power and his provision that he made for us on the cross and in the tomb, you can have victory. 1 John chapter 4, and I believe it's verse 4, says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Hallelujah. The victory is ours. Give God praise up in here today. Hallelujah. Now, having said all that, let me say this. We always run out of time on Sundays, don't we? There's coming a time when we're not going to run out of time anymore. Woo! You can't claim God's power and provision unless you have God's power and provision in your life.
That's right. Amen.
You need to do what Ryan did the other night. And Ava. And a young college student named Jared. You need to step out and receive him by faith. If you haven't done so, let me just give you the gospel as simply as I know how to. The Bible says we've got two major problems. And the biggest problem we have is sin. Sin separates us from God. God's holy. He's righteous. And he hates sin, but he loves sinners. And my Bible tells me that sin leads to death. That's our second greatest problem. Separation, not only the body from the soul, but us from him. And our sin separates us from him. In other words, you can't be in relationship with God unless you've got Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and by faith turn to Christ and receive what he did for you on the cross 2,000 years ago and surrender to him by calling on his name, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Right now, you can have what you need to overcome the devil's lies. He'll no longer be able to have victory over your mind and your heart and your will. You can have victory today. But you got to have Jesus. I'm not talking about you got to have baptism. I'm not talking about you got to have membership in this church. You got to have Jesus. Now, don't you get me wrong. I think if you've got Jesus, you're going to want to do these other things because that's what he tells us to do. Would you just bow your head with me? Wherever you sit, you say, "Well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've got Jesus or not." Don't you leave here today without knowing. I'm not sure if my life's ever really been changed, Brother Cal. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe the Bible is God's Word? Do you believe that? And my Bible tells me that greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. And He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the power that works in you. And so the key is Jesus in you. Is He? Has He changed your life? I'm not sure, Pastor. Everybody's got their heads bowed and their eyes closed. If you're not sure, would you just slip your hand right up in the air today, all over the building? If you're not sure about this, slip your hand up in the building. Just right up so I can see it. Slip your hand up. Come on now. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. Slip your hand up so I can see it. All right? If you will pray right where you sit and ask God to forgive you of your sin and just give Him everything that you are to everything that He is today, the Bible says by calling on His name, He will save you and He'll give you what you need. You just pray a prayer like this. Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. And I'm so thankful for what Jesus did for me. And right now today, I turn to Christ. And Him alone is the only way of being saved. I'm yours. You're mine. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all look right here at me. If you are saved, my devotional this morning early was draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. If you're not close to God, who moved? Are you as close to God as you've ever been today? That's how you're going to whip the evil one, by claiming God's power and claiming God's provision. We always have a response time, a time of invitation. If you prayed to receive Christ today, I've got some stuff I want to get in your hands. I want to give you a gift. But if you just need to come pray, maybe your whole family needs to come pray together. This is a special place right here. Yeah, I'm old school. I believe in an altar. I believe in an altar. And there are altars everywhere. There's an altar in your home. There's an altar here right here at Second Mile Church. And your family needs to come and pray.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.